The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This show's a daily contest to see who's dumber.
You ain't got no class like me, man. I'm an aristocrat.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
They're not like us. They're not like us. They're not like us.
This isn't the Oprah Winfrey Show. My feelings don't matter.
Mark Hockman.
I have this fantasy of becoming obese and bedridden and having people bring me food.
What's your favorite pasta? The gabagool?
Channing Crowder.
I just got an insufficient funds text. I might not be able to buy no beer tonight. I lost my virginity watching Bill dance.
Google me, bro.
Alejandro Solana.
So Billy the Marlin isn't a bird? I'm basically a professional kayaker.
Sports.
I used to hang out with Chris Volstead.
Okay.
I would just like to confirm I am wearing underwear today.
You know what else is great all the time, doesn't matter what the scenario? Bagpipes.
Finish your damn string cheese.
Chimichurri.
More sports.
Come on, repeat after me.
Here comes the Blackfoot.
The most sports.
Jimmy, you've never had an injury?
No. I stretched.
The Hockman and Crowder extravaganza begins now.
Was it Ando Ando Lamborghini?
Ando Ando mi Lamborghini.
All right, let's give that to DBJ next year when Carson Beck is zipping tutties all over the place. Come on. You're nervous, Crowder? You're nervous?
Am I nervous?
Yeah,
am I nervous?
Because even a season, and, you know, listen, Hurricanes went to a bowl game. I think your Gators did. I forget what it was. It was somewhere.
We did. Gasparilla.
It was in October. You were in one of those October bowls,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But even an off season, they're able to corral probably the most coveted transfer portal quarterback in the nation. And it tells you a little bit of something about the lore of the University of Miami.
I can understand from the Beck family situation that, yes, you go here, you saw what Cam Ward did in this offense, but the fear of Carson Beck? Nah, I don't fear Carson Beck.
Well,
just had
it makes you
surgery.
Fear everything that the University of Miami can do. Up year, down year, sideways year, doesn't matter. You just fear the University of Miami because Florida doesn't have that kind of pull.
Well, DJ Lagway's better than Carson Beck.
I mean, throw this into his Cam Ward montage when we do, you know, all the montages together. Yeah. I mean,
Cam.
Not going to allow you to rain on our parade today, no sir.
Carson Beck.
That's right.
Yeah, I know. You get excited. Cam Ward's better than Carson Beck. Obviously, Cam Ward was at the Heisman.
So I can't compare the two. It doesn't matter.
Cam Ward was at the Heisman finalist. Carson Beck wasn't. I'm not a fan of Carson Beck. And I know the montage of Cam Ward, and I had to pull my take back. But, yeah, Carson Beck does – I don't fear Carson Beck.
We will talk with John Michaels today. He does not even need a phone. He's just going to shout his answers to us from Georgia.
Carson Beck.
Bob Wischusen is going to join us today. Everybody knows and loves Bob Wischusen, great broadcaster. Happened to be a great Orange Bowl last night. You were there for your restaurant, I'm assuming. It happened to be a great Orange Bowl. Notre Dame wins straight up. They go to the national championship. I was texting with Brady Quinn last night. He's obviously thrilled. But, like, for television ratings, for sports, to have Notre Dame in a national championship game, I mean, that's perfection.
Yes, yes. The last night of the game, the demographic was different. Notre Dame, Penn State, to Dolphins, Canes. It was very bleached.
Everybody looked like Jim DeJoseph.
Very Jim DeJoseph-ish.
He went to Notre Dame.
Yeah. They loved it though. No, it was the atmosphere was amazing last night. Like, you got two, and even Penn State, you got two premier like fan bases to come out. It was the energy was amazing.
Yeah, it was neat. It was a great game. Really fun game to watch. Just a fun game to watch because you thought, oh my God, like Notre Dame can't put anything together in the first half. All of a sudden, second half, they are able to do so. Tonight, it'll be Ohio State and Texas. And then you have NFL wildcard playoff games Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Other than the Dolphins not being in it, like, we've got some football heaven right here. It started last night. It'll continue tonight with the college football playoffs. And then three straight days of NFL wildcard football. It's happening. Carson Beck is coming to the U. The thought of how do you replace a premier quarterback like Cam Ward has already been answered on January 10th. Things are happening. Get headlines here. We have George Lopez tickets to give away today as well. Final day, George Lopez coming to Hard Rock Live in February. We've got a chance for you to win tickets. We've been doing it every day this week. Today will be the final day. If you want to purchase tickets, go to casino.hardrock.com/Hollywood or just keep listening. We'll give away the final pair before 6 p.m. Here are your Friday headlines with Alejandro Solana, brought to you by Doral Hyundai. At Doral Hyundai, choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory, like the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. And remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai.
Carson Beck in a Canes jersey.
Let's go.
Beck.
Carson
Beck. Come on. This is better than going to the 12-team college football playoff.
He's chasing his damn girlfriend around down here. Man, he saw this.
Hannah Cavender belongs in the Ring of Honor, man, because we got ourselves a quarterback. Thank you, Hannah.
Well, I'll tell you, at Georgia, he was throwing the All-American wide receivers.
I did see that his deal, according to Fox, is 1 year, $4 million from the University of Miami. Which is more than you'd make your first year in the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, is it? Well, if he wasn't going to go first round, so yeah.
He wouldn't have gone first round because the money would be in the signing bonus for sure. But yes. I don't even know if he would have gone in the second round.
Yeah, no, after having that surgery he's had, like, yeah.
And there are a lot of good quarterbacks coming out this year. Like, yeah, monetarily makes more sense to play in college, which is wonderful.
Chase the little calendar girl around Miami. That's ridiculous.
Right, the calendar girl.
What's her name?
You got it. Calendar girl.
Hawk, if we really want to get deep into it, Coach Katie Meyer saved the Canes football program.
By bowing out?
No. She was here.
By bringing in?
She was here and was behind recruiting the Cavender twins originally. And I know they left and then they came back. But if the Cavender twins were not in Miami originally, they don't have a tie to Miami, and Carson Beck probably never ends up in Miami through the transfer portal this year. So all of the credit, in my opinion, should go to former Canes women's basketball coach Katie Meyer.
I'm down with that. Katie Meyer can never get enough credit in my book. I'm down with that. I do find it funny. You know how we talk about when LeBron and Bosh came to the Heat and we're like, did Riley really have anything to do with that? Dwayne Wade brought them here. I mean, it's the same thing. We can talk about Mario's recruiting all day long, but I'm not necessarily certain it was Mario. I think it was probably the combination of Hannah Cavender and $4 million that brings him down here. Like, I wonder if there becomes a transition where the greatest attribute a college coach had in the past was his ability to recruit. Mm-hmm. And the on-field stuff was almost secondary. And I wonder if we're going to see a transition to the opposite, because what's the difference in recruiting if you've got $4 million to spend or $15 million to spend? Does it really have to do with being a great recruiter? And then at that point, does it make the transition to, well, now you need a really good on-field game day coach in order to maximize these great players that we're bringing in with gobs of money? Be interesting to watch.
Becomes a bidding war more than a recruitment.
Correct. Correct.
Because what if somebody gives Carson Beck $5 million? He's gone.
What if FAU has a huge benefactor and they offer him $15 million?
He's gone.
So then it doesn't become who's the greatest recruiter anymore. It's obviously who's got the biggest bank. But then at that point, you want to maximize, as what happened with Cam Ward down here, you want to maximize now the on-field result from the investment. And all of a sudden, the notion of, yeah, what goes on the field is almost secondary because you got to be able to recruit. It may get flip-flopped in the coming years.
I like that concept. Pay these babies. He's chasing that pudding too now. Don't get it twisted.
Think of somebody like Stephen Ross, mega billionaire, right? Right now he owns the Miami Dolphins. But what if, rather than owning a sports franchise, and I know there's prestige with that, I realize that that's like a mega accomplishment for these billionaires. But instead of doing that, you decide, hey, I care more about Michigan winning national titles than I do anything else. And Stephen Ross, again, hypothetically, sells the Dolphins, cashes in, and now every year, the only thing he's concerned about is paying $50 million to the absolute best players hitting the transfer portal or being recruited out of high school to ensure Michigan has the best opportunity each and every year to go win a national title, which is what I think it's going to end up being.
It's headed towards the only thing there you have to have, when I say FU money, like a crazy amount of FU money, because a sports club, a professional sports franchise, you have a return on your investment. You're actually going to make money off it. If you're just throwing money at college students and the school itself is a public university or a private university even, and there's no return on the investment other than being able to put a trophy up in your mantle or, you know, being able to be on the field when they win a trophy, you have to be, when I say the elite of the elite when it comes to wealth, which you see with Elon Musk and Twitter, spend $40 billion. Doesn't matter if the thing's worth $2 billion, $40 billion, or $100 billion. He has so much money, it doesn't matter. You'd have to be at that kind of wealth where it just does not matter at all, because a professional sports franchise will pay you dividends, will pay your family dividends.
Yeah. Two things, too. It's why the Texas teams are all going to get good. It was one of the points, like, why SMU can come up so fast, because that oil money, Hawk speaks about FU money, that oil money, that old oil money is FU money. It's like, hey, to your point, hey, okay, I'm going to shoot you $40 million. That's nothing to some of these oil tycoons. Number two, it's cashing out. It's not cashing in. So if Stephen Ross sells the Dolphins, he cashes out to take the money. You said he cashes in. I don't think you know the phrase.
And they all get into these professional sports franchises, I'd say 95% of them, to cash out at the end, which is what Jeffrey Loria did. And Jeffrey Loria entered Major League Baseball with the Expos and the Marlins and ended up with a billion-dollar cash out at the end of the day. And you could never do that in college sports unless one day, really far down the line, you're just able to own the university and turn it into a profit making, you know, like a personal ownership thing, which I guess there are some like that. There are some universities that are just privately owned that are for profit.
Sure, it's cash in or not cash out, cash in. Anyways.
It's cash out. You said that you cash in. It doesn't make sense. That means you're putting money in. This is when you sell, it's cash out, Solana.
I don't think I've ever seen a worse performance by a quarterback who has so much hype as Drew Aller yesterday for Penn State. I
did not look good.
I felt bad for James Franklin by the end of the game, and nobody should ever feel bad for James Franklin, but that's the situation I was in, where I genuinely felt bad because
he didn't look good.
The throws, even the ones that he got bailed out on with the flags, were some of the worst throws I've ever seen.
Yeah, did not look good. I don't,
What, Riley Leonard? He didn't look good either.
Were we talking, was it Gino yesterday who said to us, whoever wins tonight is going to be the national champion? Was that Gino yesterday? I forget who. Someone said that.
It was some,
but I'm kind of with that. I think, and I think I like Ohio State tonight, but I think Ohio State goes on to win the national championship.
Yes, I'm 100%. Texas, Ohio State are better than them two teams that played last night.
Yeah,
and they're good teams. It's not like it's just a butt whooping, but yeah, I'm with Ohio State, and I think Ohio State goes on to win it.
The Miami Heat picked up another victory yesterday after a miserable first quarter. The Heat end up winning the game. Tyler Hero leads you in scoring, no surprise. Jaime Jaquez Jr., talk about somebody who's going to cash out. I mean, this dude is going to be playing excellent, or has been playing excellent basketball for the Miami Heat over the last three games.
Tell you what, I thought it was going to be a road trip to forget, like an all-time forgettable road trip, because the Jimmy Butler thing happened right before it started and they lost the first one, right? And then have won a couple in a row. And I'll tell you what, it seems like they can salvage a decent road trip here. So I take it all back about their magic dust.
What did Sensabaugh do?
Sensabaugh was out, thank God. Had the flu. Couldn't play yesterday.
Thank God.
I listen to pre-heat and post-heat. Every game.
The Heat are back at it tomorrow against Portland. That'll be a 10 p.m. game. We'll have to monitor what happens. No joke. Monday, Wednesday. Yesterday, the Monday night football game was moved out of Los Angeles to Arizona to be played State Farm Stadium, I believe, which is where the Arizona Cardinals play.
Mm-hmm.
The Heat are supposed to play at Crypto.com Arena Monday and Wednesday. They have the Clippers Monday and the Lakers on Wednesday. And right now the situation in L.A. is, you know, worse.
Dire.
Yeah, it's worse. Yeah. It's crazy. The Florida Panthers are in action tomorrow, 1 p.m. They host the Boston Bruins. That is going to be an awesome game. And your NFL wildcard schedule.
That's on ABC, by the way. That is the national hockey game of the week tomorrow at the Amarant Bank Arena. That's why Bob Wischusen is going to join us in the next segment. Although Bob Wischusen also is the radio voice for the Jets. I'm curious his take on the end of the season for the Jets and the Dolphins. But he is on the ABC telecast for Panthers Bruins tomorrow.
Chargers-Texans kicks off your wild card weekend tomorrow, 4:30 p.m. Steelers-Ravens is the late game at 8. Broncos-Bills Sunday at 1. Packers at the Eagles, 4:30. Late game on Sunday, Commanders at the Buccaneers. And again, Vikings at Rams has been moved to Arizona. It will still take place Monday, 8 p.m.
I saw Jalen Hurts cleared concussion protocol, right? And Deshaun Watson tore his Achilles?
Well, he had already, right? But the recovery is like just
not... I didn't know that it was torn. Like, I thought that was like the new news, was that it was actually torn. But maybe we did know that.
Oh, he re-ruptured it. He re-ruptured his Achilles. Man.
Well, anyway, it seems like he's going to miss all of next season.
He dancing by in his car with his damn girlfriend sitting in Gucci seats.
Yeah, didn't they pull over like on the side of the road or something?
And made Tic Tacs. Listen, this guy's career is over.
I think his career might be getting close to over. I don't think he'll take another snap with the Browns.
I don't think he'll take another step in the league.
Possible. Would he get all the money?
Yep, it was fully guaranteed. 254, 253, whatever it was.
But if he retires.
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know for sure, but I don't retire. You don't retire. Like you're saying, he's missed another season anyway. That's year three.
Right. So there's
of his 4-year contract.
Whatever, yeah.
Yeah. So give me this 54 and keep me around. Give me another 54. I can make all the Tic Tacs side the road. It's ridiculous.
You don't want to retire anyways because you want to be able to rehab, right? Like, whether or not he's going to play.
Yeah.
Whether or not he's going to play, Hawk, like he wants his Achilles to be fixed. You have to rehab.
Right. You want all the medical attention that comes with being on a NFL team. Yeah.
That's one quick for me. I really thought Deshaun Watson was going to come back and be something.
I think everyone did. I think there was, I mean, he was so good in Houston. The guy was so good.
Like Hall of Fame good. Yes.
And it literally looks like doesn't look like it. He is one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL when he's playing the last couple seasons.
Yeah. Jameis Winston took his job.
That is true.
Bro, there was an AFC title game, but maybe it was a divisional round game. Texans were leading the Chiefs like 24-0. They're up, whatever, 3-4 scores, and Deshaun Watson was outplaying Mahomes. Now, granted, Mahomes came back, led a charge, and they blew him out. But I remember at that moment saying, this is going to be Deshaun versus Mahomes for the next decade in the NFL.
We said a million times when Tua was here that, hey, everyone would understand if you replace him with Deshaun Watson because that's how generational his talent is. Yeah. Even Tua would understand if they went out and got Deshaun Watson. I remember having the conversations.
No social media, no phones. Deshaun Watson would be better than Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen.
Well, do you think he got bad because of all the attention on his bad behavior?
I think he got bad because of his de-isolation. I think if you could have isolated him and just let him play football, he would have been very good. I think the fame blew up in his head. He couldn't be famous
because there is no real other explanation as to why he went from one of the best quarterbacks you've ever seen to one of the worst quarterbacks you've ever seen.
But just time off, too, right? I mean, he didn't play for three years, almost.
Yeah.
But just the daily attacks, the psychological stuff he had to go through with his little, weird massage thing and all. I think in 1985, Deshaun Watson would have been a Hall of Famer.
All right, guys, your weather from the DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. Another nice day in South Florida. It's in like the mid-70s, upper 70s right now. Tonight, the lows will drop once again. That is your weather.
Let's not get much nicer than this, man. This is why we live here. Bob Wischusen is going to join us next.
It's a chain thing. You wouldn't understand.
Hawk and Crowder.
All right, Bob Wischusen is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Excellent broadcaster. He calls college football and the NHL for ESPN and ABC. Tomorrow afternoon, Panthers Bruins. That is a national telecast, Crowder, on ABC. And Bob Wischusen will be on the call from Sunrise. And I think many people know Bob is also the radio voice for the New York Jets. So we have a lot to talk about. And he was on the show last week when we were off and Josh Appel was filling in for us. Josh had Bob Wischusen on. So we're actually we're thrilled that you could make time for us again, Bob.
Yeah, when I heard, it was a Channing Crowder show, that gave me pause, as a Jets guy.
Yeah, me too.
I don't like Dolphins. 8-9 years the crap now. Out of the Jets for a long time. Yeah, that would that you know not pleasant calling his games.
Well, me and Rex Ryan got into it, and now you have a chance to get Rex back. So you know we could talk about it.
What are the chances?
Maybe he can
of
come
that,
down,
Bob?
Come down at the sideline, yeah, and yap at Rex if he comes back to the Jets.
Me and Rex, we actually talked on the. We had him on the pivot, and we laughed about it. Where he was like, "Yeah, you know, I was playing the game, and he was playing the game too. Like, yeah, the media wants this, we'll give him what he wants."
It was a good show.
Do you think he'd see success with the Jets?
You know, it's a really interesting question because, you know, the last time the Jets had any playoff success, the last time they made the playoffs, Rex was the coach. But there's also this idea that people are kind of forgetting that he coached them for 6 years, not just two. Like the first two, he went to the playoffs and went to a championship game, and that was great. But this slide they've been on the last 14 years, the first 4 years of that was Rex. So I don't know. I mean, you know, I think you do have to look at his time with the Jets in totality before you just look at it through kind of like those green-colored glasses and act like the only 2 years that Rex ever coached the team were the 2 years they went to the championship game. You know, there were negatives as well. So I would definitely be interested if I were a fly on the wall in the room to hear the question asked to Rex, what lessons have you learned from maybe the mistakes that you made as a coach, and how are you going to be different this time around so that we can count on the success, but we don't have to worry about, you know, the backslide if we do have some early success, because that's what happened last time. And, you know, to be fair, like you got to look at the whole picture, not just the first 2 years.
And Bob, you cover the Jets. You call the games. Like they always say that there's a certain person that needs to be in the New York market where, like, I know Ben Johnson comes up, Aaron Glenn's coming up. Like you know all the big coaching names. Vrabel's supposed to go to New England. Is there like it? Does that really mean something? There has to be a certain personality to be a Jets coach, because my thing is, honestly, like I don't like the Jets that much. I'm a damn Dolphin. I live in Miami still. But like, does you have to be a certain type of person to coach the Jets, or should you just be the best football coach?
Well, you have to have, as that best football coach, some armadillo skin and some like, I got this about you when you walk in the door. In all the years that I've covered the Jets, and my time with them goes back to 1996. So the first year I ever was regularly on their beat and in their locker room, they went 1-15, and it was the second year of Rich Kotite. So I've seen a lot of coaches come through, and some have had some success, and then it's backslid, like Rex is a good example. The only guy that I've seen in all my years with them that walked in and on day one, literally a switch flipped culturally, expectations-wise, everything was Bill Parcells. And we all know the gravitas that Bill Parcells has with him. So for one of these other guys with no head coaching resume to come in and do this with the Jets would be to do something I have not seen done. Because there have been other guys, right, like Todd Bowles and Herm Edwards when he first arrived, and Eric Mangini, and you know, and Rex, none of these guys were head coaches before, you know, before they arrived with the Jets. And so maybe having some prior head coaching experience and a little bit of that gravitas and being a guy that's used to standing in front of the whole room and be the leader of men, that type of thing. Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, dealing with the New York media and certainly dealing with, you know, the instant negativity that you have to try and overcome the minute you walk through the door with the Jets is a real thing. In New York, it is absolutely a real thing.
I think you kind of see it with Aaron Rodgers almost, where he can overcome anything. But then all of a sudden, maybe that Jets, whatever it is, if it's an aura or an odor or something, maybe he couldn't get past it. But let me ask, because I do want to talk Panthers with you, Panthers-Bruins tomorrow on ABC. But real quickly on the football front, who had the more disappointing season? Was it the Dolphins, who had been to the playoffs twice in a row, thought they had everything right with Tua and Tyreek and Jalen Waddle, or is it the Jets, who you know, finally get Aaron Rodgers back. He missed the first season with them, and they think they've got everything right. Both season ends without going to the playoffs. Which team had the more disappointing outcome?
Yeah, I guess disappointingly, I would have to say the Jets, because Tua didn't play all 17 games. The Dolphins still got to the last weekend of the season with life, right? Like, they were hoping for an outcome that very early on they realized was not going to go their way, but they began week 17 or week 18 with, you know, with belief that they could make it. The Jets were basically done about halfway, if not two-thirds of the way through the season. And Aaron Rodgers played the whole year, started all 17 games, and they didn't really even come close. I mean, they've got the seventh pick in the draft, and they won the last weekend of the season against Miami and still ended up with the top seven pick. So, yeah, I would say, like, if Tua had stayed healthy the whole year, played every game, then I think it's reasonable to say the Dolphins probably would have been a playoff team, because when he's healthy – you know, they win enough of their home games and enough other warm weather games. Maybe they would have gotten their doors blown off this weekend, going having to go to Buffalo or having to go someplace like that and play outside the cold. I don't know. But, you know, they probably still would have made it. And the Jets had their quarterback the whole season and didn't really even come close. So, you know, hard to say they didn't have the more disappointing year.
And Bob, speaking of Aaron, Is it on him if he wants to play again? Because we heard the post-game press conference where he said, let me go home, let me reset, let me evaluate everything. Or is it on the Jets to bring him back? Because they still owe him money. His contract, they owe, what, $40-something million. Do you think that Aaron Rodgers is the starting quarterback of the Jets next season?
Too many balls in the air to answer that question yet. You're right. He is under contract. So it's more on them than it is on him. Like, if he wants to come back and play, they've got the right to keep him and or trade him or release him or, you know, whatever they want to do. But, you know, the cap implications of getting rid of him are massive. But the answer to that question right now depends on the answer to, like, four or five other questions that we don't have the answers to yet. You know, the only one we know is they picked seventh. Coming into this past weekend, we didn't know what pick they were going to end up with. Well, now we know. So, is there a quarterback that falls to them? Would they trade up? And all of that now leans to who's the decision maker. They still haven't hired a general manager. They still haven't hired a coach. So once you determine who those two people are, well, what do you want to do? What do you think of Aaron? What do you think of the draft? Do you want to spend draft capital? Do you have a belief in Cam Ward that you would throw – you know, your couple of first-round picks at somebody else to go up and get him and make him the quarterback right now? If you don't believe in Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders or anybody else at the top of the draft, well, okay, then what? Who's on the free agent market? What happens in Minnesota? Did they keep Sam Darnold? Does that mean they would trade J.J. McCarthy? The other way around, they go to J.J. McCarthy, now Sam's a free agent. If not Sam, who else is on the free agent market? Right, then you're talking about, like, potentially the Kirk Cousinses and Justin Fields of the world. So all of that is unknown because you don't know who the decision makers are. So all of those questions have to be answered, because those decision makers then have to make a call on that and then say, all right, well, if we don't have another viable way to go, then Aaron might be our best option. And could he come back? Yeah. I mean, in that scenario, he absolutely could.
Yeah, Jets have it way worse than the Dolphins. Just hearing Bob Wischusen lay all that stuff out, I'm not kidding you, Crowder. Like, we know who the decision makers are. You may not want it to be Chris Greer, but it's not up in the air. There aren't all these variables that, like, the Jets have it way worse than the Miami Dolphins. That has been answered and answered well. Bob Wischusen will be on the call tomorrow on ABC. It's Bruins and Panthers, 1 p.m. You can watch on ABC and ESPN Plus, by the way. If I had told you, Bob, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, that in 2025, the Panthers were going to be the defending Stanley Cup champions and that South Florida was going to host an outdoor hockey game at Marlins Park the following year for the Winter Classic, you would have said what?
That it's awesome. And that is the goal. I mean, going all the way back to when Wayne Gretzky went to L.A., where, like, that really is what the NHL envisioned ultimately the product could become for the whole country. And obviously, South Florida, Tampa, Dallas, Southern California, maybe it'll go back to Phoenix at some point. I don't know. But, I mean, even being in Salt Lake City now, right? Like places that, you know, 25, 30 years ago when I was growing up as an NHL fan, you never really would have imagined being places where hockey not only could, you know, could exist but could thrive. I mean, now, like, the Stanley Cup has been hoisted by teams from Florida on a regular basis over the last half dozen years, and it's awesome. So, you know, the NHL, I'm sure, as a collective, could not be prouder of how their product is truly resonating in all of these places where, you know, most of the population didn't grow up with hockey.
And Bob, can we be cocky with Tkachuk, with Bob, with Ekblad, with, you know, Bobrovsky, like now Paul Maurice, we have a Stanley Cup. Like, should we be cocky down here where, like, they'll go on 2 or 3 game losing streaks and we kind of blow it off? We're like, oh, they'll figure it out. Then they'll go on winning streaks, and it's, we're almost expecting to go to the playoffs, and we're expecting to make a run at the Stanley Cup again because we just did it. Can we sit in that mindset?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, you earn that right, and they've earned the right to get kind of the benefit of the doubt when they have a little dip in their schedule. The Panthers have some inconsistencies in some concerning areas, right? Like, they draw more penalties than any team in the NHL, but they take more penalties than any team in the NHL. This year, I think they have, you know, as many games where they've scored 5 or more goals as any team in the league. But they also have a ton of games where, for whatever reason, they score 1 goal or get shut out. One of the only teams that has had that happen to them more often this year is the Bruins. So there's an inconsistency a little bit with the Panthers, but at the same time, I mean, the pedigree is there. All the guys that have now done this and have proven they can done it, they're all still there. Bill Zito's a master at taking the back end of the roster and replenishing it with really good players. So when you lose third and fourth liners, like you probably will when you win the Stanley Cup, because other teams want a piece of that success, he's been able to backfill with, you know, just as effective players, and they don't really miss a beat. I mean, they're going to the playoffs. I mean, they're within shouting distance even of the President's Trophy if they catch a hot streak. So the Panthers will be a playoff team. There's no question about that. It's just how healthy will they be when they get there. But could they repeat? Of course they could repeat.
That would be fantastic. Bob Wischusen will be on the call tomorrow, 1 o'clock from Sunrise, ABC. It is the Panthers and the Bruins. I know when you were on with Appel, he asked you, because we had ridden him pretty hard about flying from Fort Lauderdale to Tampa and back, and he got caught, you know, because of that. I'll ask you one silly question on the way out, because you would never do that, right, Bob? You would never fly from Tampa to Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, it's a car rental. You're there in 3 hours. Why would you do that?
Of course. Yeah, it was ridiculous. And then his flight coming home got delayed, and the airline, Silver, went bankrupt the next day. Declared bankruptcy the next day. No joke.
Silver.
You know what? I've flown Silver Airways. I'm actually glad. That's a good bit of information for me to have. I didn't realize that.
I mean, they're still flying. They're reorganizing, Bob. They're still okay. The planes are safe, I'm sure, but they are in bankruptcy.
All right. Because that's the way I've gotten to Tallahassee more than once. I've had to go to, like, Tampa, then, like, puddle jump back up to Tallahassee. Because Tallahassee, some genius in Florida history realized that, like, you should build the state capital nowhere near a beach and nowhere near a roller coaster. And I have no idea why anybody thought that was a good idea, because nobody wants to go to Tallahassee, right? There's no beach, there's no water, and there are no rides. And
like, South Georgia.
Why someone thought that was a good idea.
Point.
I have
why
no
is
idea.
It in Tallahassee. That's a great question. But as long as Appel wasted your time with the travel question, let me ask you: did you know that a pickle is a cucumber?
Of course I did. Who doesn't know that?
Well, I didn't.
Everyone on this show but me, Bob.
All right. You know, the people that didn't know that a pickle's a cucumber are the people that think it's more convenient to fly to Tampa from South Florida than it is to drive.
In other words, if I get pickled cabbage, it's still called cabbage. It's just pickled cabbage. If I get pickled onions or pickled, or like, anything pickled is still called what the item is. Why don't they call pickles then pickled cucumbers?
All right. This is like a bad Seinfeld routine that I don't have the answers to. I have no idea.
Yeah, I understand. I understand.
I never really bothered to think about it. I just know that a pickle used to be a cucumber.
Guy's got a
like
network
a raisin
game
used
tomorrow.
To be a grape.
Trust me, you're going to bring this up. If the game's a blowout tomorrow, I guarantee you, you're going to bring this up.
Huck, did you know a raisin used to be a grape? Did you know that?
A raisin used to, a raisin used to be a grape. They don't call it like it's a pickled grape. They just call it a raisin.
Right. Well, maybe all that should be addressed, including Tallahassee. It sounds like we have a lot on our plate for 2025.
Yeah, that seems like a hill to die on. Right there with it's better to fly to Tampa than drive.
Bob Wischusen, be on the call tomorrow on ABC Panthers and Bruins. Thank you, Bob.
All right, guys. See ya.
Y'all thought pickles were grown.
It's not that I thought, I just thought a pickle was a different, you know what? It's like, to me, on it, no joke, it's the difference between an alligator and a crocodile. I'm not exactly certain what the difference is, but I know an alligator is not a crocodile.
They're two different animals.
Understood. And I thought a pickle, they're both green, they're both scaly. And so I thought that there was a difference between pickles and cucumbers like crocodiles and alligators.
So you wanted pickles to be called pickled cucumbers.
Well, they should be based on everything else that's called a pickled whatever.
This is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous that pickles are called pickles and not pickled cucumbers. It is absolutely ridiculous. And Bob Wischusen's right. It's ridiculous. The state capital's in Tallahassee.
Last night at the Orange Bowl, I had to talk about this about 80 times.
My wife was almost in tears at the kitchen table when I told her I didn't know that a pickle was a cucumber. She really questioned her entire life.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog, here.
Hawk and Crowder.